Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm excited about today's show. I've got Rich Keller with me, and Rich is a passionate motivational speaker on a mission to transform 1 million lives, one word at a time. With Catalyst as his one word, Rich understands the challenges associated with trying to discover what makes you stand out. He has learned that you can conquer life's obstacles and reach excellence when you uncover your core value, which he defines as who you are, not what you do. With an MBA from the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania and 25 years of branding experience at powerhouse companies such as Nabisco, Kraft Foods, and Godiva, Rich now applies his marketing expertise to personal branding. He travels the country, speaking at high schools, colleges, entrepreneurship conferences, and corporations, motivating young adults to craft their personal brands in one word and turn it into their greatest asset so they can stand out and conquer obstacles, reach excellence, and score. It's my privilege to welcome Rich to our show.
Hey there. Thank you for having me. I'm really grateful to be here, Belinda.
Oh, well, thanks so much. I know we're going through some interesting, crazy times with all of us being quarantined right now. And I understand that your wife is working in the front line. So please thank her from all of us for her service and doing all that she is doing. It certainly is not an easy time for people like your wife, but it's not easy for the family members.
That's right. Either. Unprecedented. Yeah, I have two kids at home right now from college. And I will say having them back after being an empty nester has been a real gift. And I'm really trying to savor the positives and the good things that are coming out of this. But thank you.
I totally hear you. My daughter this year is at boarding school and she's still a high school student. So having her back, I've missed her so much. It's been so great. And then we also have a college student with us. And it's just been nice to have that energy. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to savor this. We're going to have fun. We're going to try to enjoy it as much as we can because you just don't get that. You don't get it back. You know, it's like a gift. That's how I'm looking at that, too. So trying 100%. To see the silver lining, right?
You bet.
All right. Well, let's just dive in here. Why don't you start out by just filling in a few of the gaps from your bio? It was pretty good and thorough, but, you know, give us a little bit more of the journey and kind of what led you to where you are right now.
Great. No problem. I would love to do that. So I want everyone to imagine that's listening to this, waking up at 26 years old with a cancer diagnosis. And that's what happened to me. And if there's one lesson I learned from hearing the words, you have testicular cancer, it's this: life is short. And for me, that meant wrestling with the question, how do I want to be remembered much earlier than most people? And I always wanted to have an impact on other people's lives, but I had neither the courage nor the pathway to act on that dream. Until fall of 2017, when I did something on the fly without a lot of thought, and as my wife would say, a lot of moxie, I was getting a performance review that, quite frankly, was unexpectedly poor, and I was pretty shocked as I was getting it. And I got up, I closed the door, and I gave my resignation. And right in that moment, I gave up a high-paying salary, a fancy job title. I was the head of marketing for a lingerie company and, you know, some long-term financial security by quitting my successful 25-year brand marketing career. And I did it for one reason, because I couldn't be myself. And there was no turning back. And so the next question that really hit me was, what do I do next? And I had spent most of my adult life believing that my identity was caught up in two things. One of them was being a survivor, a cancer survivor, and also a pretty challenging childhood and my career. And I had just turned 50 at the time I made that move, and I wanted the next decade to be led by my purpose. And I spent a couple of weeks after I left my job speaking with friends and family and mentors and my therapist. And I came up with my purpose, my why, and why I get up in the morning. And it's simply this: to help young adults reach their goals and dreams quicker than I did. And then in December of 2017, I had an encounter with my son, Zach, that really changed the entire trajectory of my life. So he was applying to college, Belinda, and he asked me to help him prepare for his alumni interviews, which of course I said yes to because I'm a brand marketer. And I asked him one simple question that would ultimately shape my purpose. And it was simply, tell me about yourself. And he looked at me like I had 10 heads. But then he paused and he said to me, I'm a high school senior. I like sports, video games. But then he looked at me and he said, Dad, that's a really overwhelming question. And they don't teach us how to answer this in high school. And I immediately thought to myself in that kitchen that Zach is sharing all the things he does, not who he is at his core. And that's when the light bulb went off in my head and I had my aha moment right there. That is exactly what happened to every single time I began working on a brand at Nabisco, Kraft Foods, Godiva, and all the places I had my career. It was exactly the same thing. Companies believing that great products equal great brands. And that's when I, during my career, created this core value, one word approach to craft identities for some of the world's most iconic brands like Oreo and Chips Ahoy and Planters Peanuts in one word so that they could break through the clutter and stand out. And if there's one thing I learned throughout my career, it's that your product is not your brand. Your brand is the core value that you give away. And what you do is you use your products to drive your core value. And so at my kitchen table, I began visualizing literally how I can change the way people think about themselves, the same way that I helped companies think differently about the products they were selling. And I wrote down on a piece of paper as Zach was answering that question, I wrote the words one word approach. And I said to myself, maybe I can help people discover their core value so that they can craft their own personal brands around this one word, break through the clutter and stand out as well. And I was soon about to find out whether that idea was crazy because I convinced my son to work with me. And something amazing happened. In my head, I had all these exercises and he discovered his one word, his core value that he gives to the world, and that is perseverance. But then what happened next was truly magical for me. He not only aced his alumni interviews, he wrote an outstanding college personal statement by sharing a story about how he lives perseverance. He got accepted to Cornell University. Last summer, he interned at Peloton. And this summer, he's going to intern in management consulting at Ernst & Young. And that was the moment that I literally wrote down my mission, which was to transform 1 million lives, one word at a time. And shortly after that encounter, I decided that motivational speaking was going to be my vehicle to share my message around the company. And my message is this, Melinda, very simply, what you do is not who you are, but who you are should drive what you do. And all it takes is one word. And that's my story.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
It really is. And I think that it's great. And I think finding that need, like most of the great things that we end up doing or the directions our lives take comes out of finding that one need that somebody has and realizing that if this person has this need, probably thousands and even millions of others do too. So I think that that's, I always say, find that need and see if you can fill it. And that is always really a good direction. And I've always been big on not necessarily the one word. I love that concept because we want to keep things simple. You've only got a few seconds to grab someone's attention or get them
seven seconds.
Yeah.
7 seconds to make a first impression. It's been documented at Harvard. And you're exactly right. I tell so many young adults, my kids included, what are you going to say in the elevator? What are you going to do to sell yourself in the elevator? You have 7 seconds. And by the way, my one word is catalyst. And when I share that word and it's on my LinkedIn profile first thing, people say to me, oh, what is that? And that's your avenue to go right in and sell yourself. It just takes that one word to make that connection. And in the elevator, you can really have a profound impact. And I've seen it happen.
Wow. So let's talk about how the business then today. So you were working in corporate America. How's the business shaped your lifestyle today?
Yeah. So for me, I mean, one of the things that's been pretty amazing, I really thought when I left the corporate world that I was going to miss being around people and miss the connection of, you know, the water cooler and then, you know, going from desk to desk. But for me, the biggest thing has been the freedom that I have to do that connecting. And so speaking around the country, you know, up until the virus, I had been really pretty much building my business on the strategy of free work to get paid. Because I truly believe as a brand, if you put your brand hat on, people buy brands. People would go, like if you go to Costco, you're going up and down the aisle and sampling all the products. You do that. Costco does that because they want you to buy the product. And so having my brand hat on when I built my business from the ground up, I had that same strategy. If people could sample what I have, then the next one will be a paid gig. If I could get on the phone with people and spend an hour with them and give my value away for free to somebody that I think has potential, the next five people that they tell are going to be the ones that call me, and that becomes a paid gig. And so for me, you know, unbeknownst to a lot of people thinking I was crazy, I have built my business on doing it my way. And I'd say that's the best thing as an entrepreneur right now, that I get to really shape my own personal brand. And as a catalyst, I get to disrupt the way I'm going to build my business.
That's great. And it's a great way to look at it for sure. So let's talk about skill sets. So what do you think, or what have you identified as sort of your superpower or some skill sets that have really helped contribute to your overall success?
Well, I would say the first thing is, you know, one of the things I didn't realize when I quit my corporate career was that I really just made a pivot from building identities for brands to building identities for people. So I would say the first thing is the way that I come at personal branding is my entire career that I had for 25 years. And so what I really learned is how to build brands and how to build brands from the bottom up. And if you take it from a brand perspective, people buy brands because they deliver a certain value. Money is an exchange of value. So if the brand delivers that core value, you're going to go back and buy it again. And I bring that same experience to helping people when they discover this one word, is simply discovering that core value that they give away. So the first thing I would say is my brand marketing career has really helped. The second thing I would say is, you know, one of the things that I've really been able to leverage is my MBA. You know, at Wharton and having that experience under my belt, I've been able to leverage that for colleges and leverage that for high schools and go in, whether it's a free gig or a paid gig, just coming in with that credibility is what I'm learning now, almost 30 years later, has been a huge benefit for me. And that's because instantly, I'm not somebody who didn't have this background and then all of a sudden decided one day I'm going to get up and I'm just going to teach people how to build a brand. So I've learned, and I share this with all the entrepreneurs and the high school and college kids I work with, what you've been doing throughout your life has that credibility factor, and you have to find the way to build that story about yourself so that people could immediately understand that what you're bringing to the table is going to have value.
That is great. And I think so important. Absolutely. So let's talk about a challenge or obstacle that you faced and then how you've worked through that.
Oh, I'm trying to think which one that, you know, there's been a couple. I would say for me, one of the things I had to really get real with when I left my career was who I really was. And when I chose to go into therapy, I realized that my entire story was a puzzle that came together really beautifully. What do I mean by that? I grew up in a very challenged home where I was invisible. I grew up with no value. I had an older brother and a twin sister that were either smarter or more athletic. It was always, you know, more, more, more for them. And so I really grew up feeling like I didn't have any value. And add to that a cancer diagnosis at 26 years old. That was a moment for me where I realized, you know, life is short, as I said in the beginning. And then add to that, 17 years later, my wife wakes up with advanced breast cancer. And thankfully, 9 years later, she's doing really well. But the reason I'm sharing that is because one of the things that I hid away for so many years was who I really was. And for me, it was those trigger moments that forced me to get real. And part of the reason I'm on this mission to help people to understand that their identity is not caught up in being a survivor or being having a career. What it's caught up in who you are. And what I learned was when I discovered my value as a catalyst and I gave my son the opportunity to discover his value, I realized that that is my purpose in life because I came into the world believing I had no value. I'm helping people discover their own value so that when I leave, and I really mean this, I say this all the time, when I leave, I literally want people to come to my funeral with their one word on their shirt because I want to leave knowing that my story was full circle. And my purpose is to help you get to your dreams much quicker than I did. I'm thrilled and happy. I have great kids, a great wife, but the journey I took doesn't have to be everybody's journey. If you discover who you really are and get your story, own it and say it in a way where it's empowering, not victimizing.
That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, it really is. And I think we've been talking about this, especially with this virus situation, and people seem to kind of be going down two different paths, and it shows up, and I think it probably shows up in every area of their life, but they don't show it, if that makes any sense.
Oh my God, absolutely. And you know, it's interesting too, because one of the things people always say to me, always, and I now own it, is that you're always positive, you have such a glass half full attitude. Yep. But the truth is, that is not something you can be trained to be glass half full. It's all a mind game. It's a mindset. And yep. I didn't know that. I wish that I had a me at 20 because we all have issues. We all have struggles. My struggles are mine, but everybody, I used to always say this too, like my cancer is somebody's, like they lost a job. I totally get it. But how you go about the mm-hmm. next move is mindset. And we spend so much time on our bodies and we have all these regimens for everything else but our mind. And that's what I'm trying to do as a catalyst is to disrupt the way you think so you own who you are, that one gift, and give it to the world because we all have one core value we give away, I believe.
Well, I was just, yes, absolutely. And I was just going to say so many people just are really... We're all in the same boat, but yet so many people are showing up as the victim in this.
That's right.
And versus what are the solutions I can find in this? Or what's the silver lining I can find in this? What can I make the most out of this? Or how am I going to make this day be worth something instead of complaining about how it's not fair? If I read one more place, it's not fair. It's not fair to who? Like,
that's right.
We're all in it. So how you choose to see that, you know, this is not fair. It's like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And it just shows up that it's that. And I think everybody, it kind of like has that. You either are the victim or you are the solution. Like, it's like, I'm looking for the solution here, or I'm going to live and be the victim here and say it's being done to me. And that's what I always try to tell my young daughter. It's like,
that's right.
Things aren't done to you. They happen. And how you choose to react to them is going to be your end result.
You know, it's so interesting you say that because the day I quit my career and I came home to tell both my kids, because remember, I did it without telling anyone, even my wife. My daughter was a mess. She thought, she's like, oh my God, we're going to have no money. I want to give you back all the clothes I just bought for school. And I said, okay, everyone slow down for a second. And I said to my kids, both of them at the table, watch dad in the next 6 to 8 months because I'm going to teach you a lesson. And I wouldn't tell them the lesson. And they came back to me 8 months later and they said, dad, I've never seen you happier. You really taught us that it's about giving to live. And we know that you're going to be successful at this. I'm in the long game. This is going to take 10 years to build, but that you taught us that we really have to go out there and give our value away to drive happiness. It's not the other way around. We don't get up to get paid. We get up to give away our value so we can get paid. And if you do it right, you're going to be happy. And I'm trying that right now.
That's awesome, which brings us to our next question, which is, what does working from your happy place mean to you? I think you just answered that, but it is our signature question of the show.
No. It's a great question. I absolutely love the title of your podcast, and I love the theme behind it. I will say two things. I will say personally, there is only one thing that is in my happy place, and that's health. That's it. Health is it. I've learned the hard way. When my wife was ill, I was ill. If you don't have your health, you have nothing. And I'm so thankful. People always look at me a little bit differently when I say this. Having cancer was the best thing that ever happened to me. Number one, because I'm alive. And number two, because it taught me how important that element is to everything. It leads the way. Look at this crisis we're in right now. It leads the way to how life is going to be lived. So I would say personally, it's health. And then, professionally, I would say if I learned one thing throughout my career, and I tell everyone that's building a brand, be the guide of your story. Personal branding is not about I, selfie, photo, I'm great. It's about here is my value, my core value, and I want to give it to you so that I'm the guide and you're the hero. The hero is the person I help. And I'll give you a really good example, because I think you'll understand this from your daughter being in high school. When you apply to college, you are not the hero of your application. You are the guide. And your job is to signal to the committee. The committee's the hero. They have to pick the best class. You are signaling in your application what you're going to bring to that school. And it's not in an I am great. It's in here's my grades. Here's my ACT scores. Here are my recommendations. Here's how other people see my value. And if you have that attitude, that is a tremendous happy place for everyone that I work with and myself now, because I'm the guide, never the hero.
Well, that's great advice. And that's, and I will take that into account, because before too long, I mean, she's going to be a junior next year. It's going to be here. It's at our doorstep. It's going to happen.
That's exactly right. Belinda, can I share an example for your listeners of what I mean by the one word, so that they really understand the essence of what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. Would okay? I would love that. I'm sure our listeners would too.
I'm going to use you as an example. Are you familiar with the Godiva chocolate brand?
I am.
Okay, so have you ever received Godiva from somebody?
I have.
Okay, so for many years when I was the head of brand innovation, I was their head of innovation. It was awesome. I ate a lot of chocolate in my career, 7 years. But one of the things we learned is in a gifting exchange, who do you think is more important, the gifter or the recipient in an exchange? What would you answer? It's not a trick question.
I would say, here's what's funny. So what I would say that I think the right answer ought to be is the person that you're giving it to ought to be the most important person.
Okay. However,
I love giving gifts to people. I just had this conversation with another young adult. It's like that has a hard time receiving gifts. And I'm like, you have to understand the person giving it. They're so thrilled to give it to you that for you to say, oh my gosh, you shouldn't have done this. Oh, I don't need this. And to do that robs that joy for
that
minute.
Exactly right. Wow. And, you're awesome.
Oh, thanks. So I was just explaining this actually 2 days ago, to some young people about how we even talked about love languages, like how that's for some people, that's their love languages, like giving, gifting. And I love giving gifts. But I would think that when you're thinking about giving that gift, you don't give it to just make yourself feel good. I try to be genuine about what would that person like? Would this person need right now? How can I bless this person in a way, or they're having a rough day, or what could I do that might brighten their day? That's how I try to look at that lens.
So you would say gifter then?
Yes, that would have to be my number one answer.
Great. You get the gold star. But here's the thing. For 5 years, we thought it was the recipient because, to your point, the recipient is the one you're giving the gift to. But if you are getting engaged to a significant other and they open up the box and the ring is not what they expected, the gifter got it wrong. And the gifter is actually more shattered. Even though the recipient is really shattered, the gifter is shattered plus one. And what we learned is through our research that, remember I said your product is not your brand. Well, we thought we were competing in the chocolate category, but the truth is nobody really cares what's inside that gold box because nobody really spits out a piece of chocolate unless it's a flavor you don't like. But what we learned is the person that's giving that gift is giving it to you because of Godiva's core value, which is generosity. Godiva is a vehicle to express your generosity. And so if I want to give you something for Valentine's Day, Belinda, without saying a word, if I give you a gold box of Godiva, you know I went out of my way, expensive, I must have done something to deserve it. And the truth is, that is the value that Godiva gives to people that purchase Godiva and give it to the recipient. So if the gifter wants something in our store, we design based on what you love, the recipient. And if we get it right, we have transferred that generosity from Godiva to the gifter to the recipient. And so being in the generosity business is where the brand for Godiva lies. Your brand is your core value. And so when you go down the aisle and you see a million chocolate brands, if we do it right, we're going to be the generosity brand, not the chocolate brand. And if you look at the story of Lady Godiva, that was exactly the story that she portrayed to Coventry by being generous. And so that's why your story is so important to your core value, because Godiva being in the generosity business allows the story of Lady Godiva to actually be the credibility. And when we learned that people were actually not looking at other chocolate brands when they were thinking of Godiva, they were looking at other experiences of generosity, wine, spa, you know, you name it, concert, expensive dinner. So that opened up the world for this brand. And so what I want your listeners to understand is your product is not your brand. Chocolate is not Godiva's brand. Your brand is your core value. And you use your gold box to drive generosity. Because if I gave you M&Ms on Valentine's Day, Belinda, you probably wouldn't be happy with me, because that's not a generosity brand on a special holiday like Valentine's Day. And that's it.
Wow. That's a great explanation. Love that.
And I now help people do that. And that is what has been incredible the day that I left my job.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So,
Rich, what advice would you give to people? So let me just get this straight in part of the story. You're 50 years old when you decide to do this.
Yes.
So I think that's worth chatting about for a half a second here before we get into what advice would you give?
Yeah.
Because I think there's too many people that sit and say, well, I'm too old, or you know what, this is what I decided to do, I'm doing it, I've only got, you know, you could have said, I've got 15 more years and I can retire, I can get whatever, I can get my retirement or pension or whatever it is, because I hear that all the time. I've only got 8 more years of this. And I think, oh my gosh. But by the same token, you know, I'm kind of reinventing myself even right now as we speak. And I turned 59 this year. So I, at 59 years old, and people said, I had a friend today said, just write it out, for crying out loud. Like, what do you want to go to all this work for? And I'm like, for the first time, I'm waking up and I'm energized and I'm excited. And I feel like I've got a new purpose. Like, I'm not leaving what I've done or serving because I've done it for so long. But I need to wake up with a fire in my belly. I need to be excited. And I can wait one more year and I'm just going to be one more year older. Like, I think that people put age on something that they can't do it or they're too old. And there's so many great stories of people, you know, graduating from college at 80 years old. Do you know what I mean? I admire you for doing that, because it's not easy. And it never is, really, at any age. It's never easy because it's a big decision. But at the same time, it's a really big decision when you've already had a long-term career, or and you're still in that, raising kids, having a family, and trying to figure this all out. So it's very admirable.
Yeah, and I will say you nailed a couple of things that are worth saying really quickly. One is it's all mindset. Number two, I didn't know then what I know now. I mean, I'm a catalyst, so I did it in a disruptive way to my brand. But what I didn't know then is you have to reinvent yourself. Everyone needs an act two. I don't care what you do for a living, you need an act two. And all it is a simple reinvention. Age is a gift. I mean, I look, especially after being sick, I'm not dead at 60. I'm not dead at 50, but I have to reinvent myself. Why? Because the world, like corporate America, ageism, we got to own that. We got to accept it and move on. But you can either fight it or say, all right, I'm going to pivot. And so the idea of what you just said, I say the same thing to people. It's about, I didn't get up one morning and decide I'm going to now go be a neurologist. I literally stepped back and said through friends, mentors, and therapy, how can I pivot, reinvent, but not have to start completely over by bringing my credibility along for the ride? I didn't know that then, Belinda, but that's what I teach people now. So I get a lot of calls from people that thought I was absolutely nuts at 50, and now they're calling me and they're like, can we talk for a little bit? You know, and this is what I say to them. I go, can you hear me now? I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? Like, oh, now, you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. And of course I speak to them, but it's really because of one thing. We in the digital world and our kids, I'm sure you can agree with this. We are going to be left behind if we don't reinvent to become relevant. And that's the theme of what you do next. It's not, what am I going to do next? It's how am I going to reinvent to stay relevant? Because if I live long enough, why should I be sitting at home and, you know, on a rocking chair? Those days are over. And so I'm blessed that I did it at 50 and I didn't wait, because it is harder the longer you wait, no doubt. But anybody can reinvent. Anybody could be relevant. It's all mindset and a lot of moxie.
I agree. You know, I had this, a mentor that I had since I was in my early 20s. And she passed away last year at 101.
Wow.
And I went out and interviewed her, took video cameras and everything, flew to Minnesota and interviewed her because I wanted to capture it on video.
Yeah.
And when she died at 101, she died on a Friday, and on Thursday she had did a Zoom meeting with a whole group of people. She was still working.
Wow.
And I said to her at 100, you know, well, have you ever considered retiring? And she looked at me with the craziest look on her face, which was just so precious. And she said, retire? Well, what would I want to do that for? What would I do? And she said, there is just too many people to love on. I still have too many people to reach and too many people I can make an impact on. Why would I sit around, play computer games, watch TV? And I just, it was, that'll stay with me forever. Like, I'm not kidding.
Wow. What a gift. That's incredible.
Absolutely. Well, this has been awesome, Rich. And so one of the big questions that we kind of close with here, and you kind of touched on that a bit, but I'll let you answer it specifically.
Yeah.
And that is, what advice would you give to others wanting to be an entrepreneur or maybe take that big leap or discover something new that they want to be passionate about?
Yeah. Besides sharing that you should be the guide and never the hero of your own story, I'll share one final takeaway, which is something I really learned and absolutely believe in. And that is, people buy human connection. And so the entrepreneur is the brand. So many entrepreneurs I work with think their product is their brand, but people are buying them, and what they're buying them for is their product, but they're the ones that need to be in the front of their product, because we buy Sarah Blakely with Spanx, we buy Howard Schultz with Starbucks, Steve Jobs with Apple, the list goes on. So what I tell people is the entrepreneur is the brand and they're buying you, and your job is to take your core value and make it the identity of your venture so that you sell both at the same time. And that's what billion-dollar brands do well.
Well, thank you. That is great advice. And this has been an absolute delight having you on the show today.
So thank you.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great interview.
I really appreciate that.
Why don't we close with any new and exciting things that you have going on that you'd love our listeners to hear about? And then please share how they can find you.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you. Yeah, the one exciting thing, one of the things that this virus has helped me, you know, walk the talk is to pivot and not wait around. So I'm launching a podcast this summer myself, Belinda, called The Catalyst Effect, which is my one word core value. And I'm going to showcase people that have taken me up on my challenge, discovered their one word, and then how they're sharing it with the world in ways that are making them successful. So it's going to be a summer launch, and it'll be available in all the places that you find podcasts. So I'm really excited about that. And then the last thing I would say is people can find me. My website is therichkeller.com, therichkeller.com. And then on LinkedIn, just type in Rich Keller Catalyst and I will come up. And I'm open to anybody reaching out. I do free calls. I will speak to anyone about branding, life, how to think about themselves as the brand. And I just want to transform a million lives. So I have a lot of work to do, Belinda. And thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Absolutely. And I just want to remind all of our listeners, if you enjoyed this interview today, which I don't know how in the world you couldn't have, I hope you'll go back and listen to it. There were lots of gold nuggets sprinkled throughout. I know oftentimes when we're listening to podcasts, we're doing many other things, walking on a treadmill, getting ready for work. But sometimes you need to go back. You need to highlight ones that I want to go back and listen to again, write down some of those gold nuggets. And I really hope that you'll do that with this one. And I just want to encourage all of you to subscribe, because then that way you will not miss a single episode. And Rich will be looking forward to your podcast, and I'd love to be a guest on that show. That would be loads of fun.
You bet. No problem.
All right.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, then. Have a great rest of your day, everyone.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.